Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for your efforts so far. A good friend of mine, the Ront, or I guess Gisho, as he is now, he was here for several years training with Roshi alongside myself and now trains in Japan. He said to me recently that Zen is the effort school. Sometimes we hear that Zen is a school that emphasizes Zazen. He was bringing up this effort. Certainly, Sesshin is a time of effort and a time of stretch, a time to really say, gather the energies, or don't allow the energies to dissipate, but rather to sit solidly, to enter into the activities, the myriad activities of the day and night with attention, presence. And by this point, you know, if we're in you could say we're in the middle of Sesshin, in one sense, or really in the meat of it. In one sense, it's irrelevant where we are in Sesshin. We could take this Sesshin perhaps to be, maybe this is the only one you or I will do. Who knows? All things change. Yesterday, sunny and warmer. Today, this morning I walk out and it's misty. So we are here now in the midst of this retreat. Say retreat sometimes, but remember Roshi said a few years ago, you know, it's more of an attack. An attack on it. Attack on our conditioned responses in a way that we usually regard self. In this time now that we have, very important to be all in. You know, Zen is not a practice, a way that suits walking around the perimeter. It's not a one foot in kind of thing. It is all in. We spend a lot of time in Zazen, of course. You know, Master Dogen, I'll bring up some pointers, some words from him as a talking point. He says, practicing Zen is Zazen. The practice of Zen in the vehicle of sitting. So a large part of our day, that is our expression, the practice of Zazen in sitting. But then we move from sitting. Can't sit there, unlike the Buddha on the altar, we can't sit there 24/7. So we get up and move to the Zazen of walking. Be just walking of walking slowly. From there to faster walking and so on. We leave the Buddha hall and enter into whatever that is next. Work practice, eating. Each expression, each situation is food for practice. Each activity throughout the day is food for practice. Every emotional arising, every feeling, the feeling of discomfort when sitting is food for practice. A practice of the direct experience of this, our life. the reality of this experience. In one place, Master Dogen says that Zazen is unconstructedness in stillness. Not constructing, not building, not adding. I wanted to bring up, anyway, from Fuka Zazengi, as Ted on Tuesday brought it up and referenced some lines from it. I picked up Moon in a Dewdrop, this well-thumbed version that I have, and I saw that it's a little different than another version that we have, and I looked a little deeper, and there's several versions. So throughout his life, I read, he discovered quite recently a handwritten copy, which was done much later, in something like 1244. So often this is credited as being one of the first writings on Master Dogen's return from China, and it's basically a one-page text. He went back to it over and over, always refining, always looking for a way to bring it alive anew, or to say something a little clearer. Not settling on the laurels of, well, I wrote a great thing when I went back, I got back, that's done. And then on to the next thing. We're always looking for refinement and how to improve. Fuka Zazengi, he says, the way is basically perfect and all-pervading. So this way, the way. The only game in town is basically, at its most basic, fundamentally, intrinsically perfect and all-pervading. How could it be contingent upon practice and enlightenment? The Dharma vehicle is free and untrammeled. What need is there for a person's concentrated effort? Indeed, the whole body is far beyond the world's dust. Who could believe in a means to brush it clean? It is never apart from one, right where one is. What is the use of going off here and there to practice? So in this first paragraph, he brings up this deep question that drove Master Dogen to practice. If it is all intrinsically perfect, there is nothing to do, then why make effort? Why visit Zen temples? Why go to China? Why go to California? It said the Master Dogen was first struck by the impermanence of life on sitting next to his mother's body after she passed, seeing incense burn down and being then struck by the impermanence of life and death. Further on, he says in a different text, the mind that sees deeply into the matter of life and death is a mind of enlightenment. This is really what we are here to do. To look deeply into this matter, this great matter. What need is there for man's concentrated, said man, I changed that to person, you know, of course it's men and women, and Master Dogen had, they think now, at least one woman's successor. What need is there for a person's concentrated effort? What is effort and how is it applied? You know, it can seem very easy to sit and do nothing. But usually, our experience, what we're doing is we're doing something. It's not really doing nothing. To do nothing at all, or to sit unconstructedly. But usually we, or often, perhaps, we don't approach Zazen, or just sitting, in that way. Each time we come in and sit down, and the bell is struck, and we begin. Then, the contract is renewed. What to do with the content that comes forth. And the feeling in the body. Or our usual, the trickiest one perhaps of our challenges, the thoughts drifting in our mind about this and that. How do we sit then? In the earlier version, just going really to the end, Master Dogen says, sit solidly in samadhi and think not thinking. How do you think? Non-thinking. Non-thinking. This is the art of Zazen. So perhaps when we sit, even more so perhaps at the beginning of the session, settling down, a certain amount of settling down, a certain amount of processing going on, thoughts going around, and then with some time, it begins to settle down. If we allow that, if we engage our effort in being attentive to what is real, to being attentive to being here, rather than having the emphasis on what is always, what is between the ears, allowing attention to be broad, that takes in the whole room. More than that, whether it is light or dark, the weather, the birds, wind, feeling in the body, feet, hands. We tend to give so much attention to thought. But when we allow or have our attention be broad, you see, you look at the self, as he says elsewhere, to study the way, study the self. Not the self that is the amalgam of everything that happened to me and what I think about them and what I'm doing next. To ponder that, as we do as human beings, if we do that in Zazen, then we miss the act. That is not the art of Zazen. That is sitting quietly, pondering things. But to sit, as he says, solidly in samadhi, or this, perhaps we can translate that as concentrated absorption. To sit, concentrated absorption in our nature, as our nature, all in every direction, with every sense, with every movement, with all things as they are, but without the picking and choosing, without the value system, without the constant need to return to interpretive positioning, judging, weighing, scheming. This is the opportunity in Zazen to encounter directly, to experience mind, and to break the shackles of constantly constructing the persona which lives in opposition to things, to perceived things. Sit non-thinking. This is the effort, is to be aware, awake and aware. Said at the beginning, I think on the first night, if you're tired, open your eyes, straighten the back. Otherwise we sink into daydream or fantasy. Or maybe we, you know, we've pulled the anchor up and we're just drifting kind of nicely on the ocean. Bit of this, about a bit of that going on. For as Roshi reminded this morning, the word Buddha means to be awake. It's not about being in a comfortable place. It's easy to run down the clock in session. Once you're a few days in, you realize, I can do this. But better to have the approach of failing utterly. Where you sit. Put aside the end of session. Put aside any idea of the finish line. And look, really look here. You know, as this surface, kind of banal thought perhaps about this and that, that gets old and boring, drops away, whatever then is deeper, whatever is there, whatever brings us to this practice, whether it is doubt or confusion or fear, whatever needs to be experienced can be experienced if we are quiet and attentive. It will come forward. And then in this wonderful container that we have, it can be dealt with. Session is a vehicle for transformation. It is about raising heat. It is meant to be difficult. It is meant to be discomfort. Discomfort then is the food for transformation. With an, you know, we put a nail through the foot and stay here. We talk about Shikantaza or just sitting and reminded that Yasutani Roshi, Maizumi Roshi, one of Maizumi Roshi's teachers said, when you begin sitting Shikantaza, at the end of a period, you should be sweating with the effort. It's tougher to do today. It's cooled off about 20 degrees. He said elsewhere, you know, about this Shikantaza, be like a cat watching a mouse hole. You miss nothing. You know, that's the stretch. Take it all in. Have that mouse hole be the whole world in every direction, inside and out. There's no division there. No gap. No edge. And that was bringing up my friend who tells me stories of, you know, his practice, talking about maybe this first line, the way is basically perfect and all-pervading. So then why make effort? He was talking with a Roshi, who's a friend of his in Japan, and the guy's a baseball fan. And he said, well, it's like being on home plate. You know, and you're standing on home plate. And we can say to each of us, you're on home plate. You're on home plate. But the words from another, you know, although they point and encourage, the work is always has to be done for each person. You can't take that on. It has to be examined. Because as this Roshi said, everybody has to run the bases. You got to run the bases. You start at home plate, and we may return to home plate. But is the practice, the process of practice, is in between. You know, the thorough examination, to be really sure, to really know, to understand. For oneself, not something that can be knocked away from you by a teacher or somebody else when you're asked a question and, ooh, not sure. We have to run, session is running those bases. You know, and like a good, you know, I'm dangerous me using baseball metaphors. I don't know much about it. But I know a little. You know, and just with how it is in Sesshin, is you got to steal bases. Zen practices that way. You don't get to, you know, base number one or base two and then just hang out and wait for someone to hit it out of the park. Might never come. You're always looking. You're attentive. You got to watch in every direction. Ready. Seven days is a short time. It can feel like a long time. But really, as we know, the days and years of our life, it's gone. Blink of an eye. We all made, you know, effort to be here. You guys made a lot of effort to be here. Gas in the car, flights in some cases, a week off work, you know, things put aside. Other people are making effort in order to support that opportunity, which we now have. To really, to whatever you came here for, whatever it is that we're here for, to do it now. To double down. I'm not getting very far with this in here, but... It is never apart from one right where one is. You don't need to look for a place or an opportunity for realization. We practice realization. We make realization real. Realize in every situation. Not that, okay, as soon as we walk maybe out of the Buddha hall, you know, sometimes it feels that way. But then our life in here, we leave our life in every direction. There's no escape in that sense. There's no escape from, really, have there been no escape from Zazen? As he says at the beginning, to practice Zen is Zazen. Make everything Zazen, your Zazen, the Zazen of eating, drinking, lying down, brushing the teeth, dreaming, waking up. But with the inquisitive mind, the mind that encounters, the mind that sees, the mind that is always intimate, the inquisitiveness of what is this? Again, this is where the effort goes. What is this now? Illumine this place, this experience. The content of that is not so important, whether it is we spend so much time in whether it is good or bad, or whether we have what our problems are. But it is all food. What's required is our earnest inquiry into what is occurring, what our life is now. With the slightest discrepancy, the way is as distant as heaven from earth. If the least like or dislike arises, the mind is lost in confusion. Need I mention the Buddha, who was possessed of inborn knowledge? The influence of his 6 years of upright sitting is noticeable still. Or Bodhidharma's transmission of a mind seal. The fame of his 9 years of wall sitting is celebrated to this day. Since this was the case with the saints of old, how can people of today dispense with negotiation of the way? You should cease from practice based on intellectual understanding, pursuing words, following after speech, and learn the backward step that turns your light inwardly to illuminate yourself. Body and mind of themselves will drop away and your original face will be manifest. If you want to attain suchness, you should practice suchness without delay. Now, there is so much there in those few lines as gold. Now, a lot more of this, he goes on, it's really how to sit, how to arrange the body and the mind. But we receive already some instruction with that. You should cease from practice based on intellectual understanding. I like that. I like that in the Jukai ceremony, which we'll have on this weekend, it says, now cease from following people of dualistic understanding. Yeah? Cease from that. From the ideas and the beliefs, the schemes and the understandings. Cease from that. You know, of course, when we sit, we come to session, we enter into this practice, you can no longer drink that Kool-Aid anyway. You start to see that whatever is said, whatever is described, whatever is summed up, is necessarily incomplete and only ever partial. As you get whatever position is taken in this great life. So Master Dogen encourages, cease from intellectual understanding, pursuing words, following after speech, and learn the backward step that turns your light inward to illuminate the self. Everyone in that position, no one left out, everyone all together. The wonderful truth of the Buddha's realization of I, all beings, the great earth, are everyone, everything, all together. Learn the backward step that turns the light inward and illuminates self. Again, where this is where to use effort in Zazen. But however those words are taken, words always necessarily fall a little short. You know, for myself, I wrestled with that backward step. What is that backward step that illuminates self? So each of us has to find to discover that. You know, not the mind that looks out at things, that objectively splits the world up into people and me and them and the country and everything else. Yeah, looking out. That's looking out. That's a forward step. That's for going towards the 10,000 things, which he later says is delusion. But the backward step is the step that allows all things to come forth and experience self. You don't need to work it out or go towards something. I like the analogy of the walking into the forest or the woods. You can do it around here, but well, you know, don't do it at night or go far. But we walk in and, you know, we tend to make a lot of noise. Sticks cracking and grass rustling, etc. Squirrels make that funny noise and run off up a tree, spooking things as you blunder in there. But you sit down alone on a rock, and you stop, and you're still, and you look, and you see what is here, what this self is, and how much it contains without limit. Lines of ants, yeah. Leaves, every millions, everyone unique. Still, the birds flitting here and there, and they come back. Maybe if you sit there long enough, the deer show up. It's that way in Zazen. Still, attentive. It's that way with our, this, how he says, original nature will be manifest, will become apparent. But it is essential to cut off those, or to cease travelling the escape routes that the mind, that our brain likes to offer up, because we've practiced them. We know how to try to entertain ourselves in what is an overtly boring situation. We watch that when sitting zazen. You see how we operate, you know, with a radical honesty, with an honesty. How we like to use our mind, how we like to manipulate this experience in order to seek something a little different, that's more entertaining. To cease constructing is to cease manipulating experience, creating something else. At the site of your regular sitting, spread out thick matting and place a cushion above it. It's very kind, practical advice. He doesn't say put out a thin mat or sit on a rock. You know, no, we're not trying to create discomfort. You know, have it be like a nice, a good mat. That way you're encouraged. It's doable, it's sustainable for the body to sit. If you need a chair, then take a chair. We have chairs, we sit in those. Your eyes should always remain open and breathe gently through your nose. Where we can, better to have the eyes open. You know, the tendency is if we close them, it becomes much more of a kind of inward gaze. You know, more chance of kind of daydreams and that kind of thing coming up. Keep the eyes open, lowered. Take everything in. Once you've adjusted your posture, take a deep breath. Inhale, exhale. Think non-thinking. This zazen I speak of is not learning meditation. It is the Dharma gate of repose and bliss, the practice realization of totally culminated enlightenment. And of course, we can't take Master Dogen's words for it. That sounds splendid. Is it one's living experience? Or does one's living experience fall short of that? And that feels somehow not yet realized. If that is so, then taking the simple practical instructions laid out, enter in and make it so. Have it be so. There is no barrier, but the barrier that is created between the ears. But there is no end to our ability to create barriers between the ears. You have gained the pivotal opportunity of a human form. Do not use your time in vain. You are maintaining the essential working of the Buddha way. We are maintaining that. It's an incredible thing that these words, I think, were, you know, written in the 13th century, come down to us, maintained this practice, this tradition for this, and but long before this too. You know, we maintain these forms and practice them for the reason that they have proven to be effective in promoting awakening in people. That is the only reason. The forms have proven effective. If there are other forms that can be more effective, then we'll, you know, we'll move forward to adopting those. Perhaps in a more American way, whatever that is. But this way that we have now, the way that we do it here, is the way we do it here. A schedule is a wonderful teacher in that sense. You know, you can predict with accuracy what you, reasonable accuracy, what you're going to be doing 3 years from now if you live here. So you don't have to worry about it. It can be put out. You know, you don't have the excuse of creating a bunch of thought about it. Only have to do what is directly in front. I should put my glasses on.
Sensei, could I ask a question?
Sure.
What would be the role of koan within that, with individual koan practice?
This whole thing is a koan. You know, koans are brought up. We work on koans, which raise one perspective, one point of inquiry, of innumerable points of inquiries, in order to well-roundedly, surely penetrate into this. But it's not a matter of koans. Koan support, it is, but also it isn't. This is the living koan. You know, if you read this, the whole thing is a koan. Right from the beginning. It is perfectly clear and all-pervading. And yet, so why go somewhere? Why are you here? You know? So use the koan as you're doing koan study, each one. Look at that. Same as the way that it's looked at if you follow breaths. And follow breaths. Do that exhaustively. Work on the koan exhaustively. And then when that is presented to satisfaction, the next. But in every space that's in between, in that 24/7, can be approached with that same inquiring mind. You know? I wake up every day to the koan of...
What is this?
It is extraordinary. What is regular? You know, look at this great, like this mystery of appearance now. Anyway, he says toward the end here, please, honoured followers of Zen, long accustomed to groping for the elephant, do not be suspicious of the true dragon. Devote your energies, true energies, to a way that directly indicates the absolute. Do not be suspicious of the true dragon. That points at an old story of somebody in China who loved dragons and had paintings of dragons everywhere, models of dragons, and probably had a few dragon tattoos. And then one day a real dragon turned up at the door and he, you know, scared to death and ran off. It's an old story. Okay. This is this true dragon. This great mystery now. Don't be suspicious of it. Don't put it somewhere else. There is something that needs to be resolved or made clear. We have this opportunity of session. And, you know, to close, it's the practice of each one of us supports the whole room, supports everybody else. You know, if we're all in and doing our very best, that is what is transmitted. That is what is encouraged. That is what is promoted. Everyone has that responsibility and is in that place. As he says earlier, you know, after Bodhidharma, was he not accomplished? Why did he go and do 9 years of Zazen after his interview with Emperor Wu? Yeah. Wherever we are, we continue. Continue to refine. Continue to realize. Please, let's all do our very best. Thank you. sentient beings are.